Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, welcome to our final segment here on Circles of Change. It's always a pleasure to have two businessmen from our community, leaders, as well as great contributors to all sorts of not-for-profit and community service activities, the founders and partners behind Beach Fleischman Accounting. So welcome to the show, Bruce Beach and Mark Fleischman.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Great to have you, gentlemen. Let me introduce Bruce as the chairman and CEO of Beach Fleischman, leading the firm's diverse array of services. He's managed the audits of numerous companies during his 35-year career in public accounting while serving as an advisor in organizational consulting for business strategy all the way to succession planning. A business and MBA graduate of the U of A, Bruce's industry experience spans construction, healthcare, high-tech, manufacturing, transportation, hotel, and retail, as well as real estate. In addition to his professional associations, Bruce serves on public company boards and is active in the community in senior leadership and board roles, such as with the Southern Arizona Leadership Council and the Arizona Business Coalition on Health, and, of course, the upcoming Tucson Festival of Books. His colleague, Mark Fleischman, is an accounting and consulting shareholder with Beach Fleischman. He's also a graduate of the University of Arizona, and Mark has worked in public practice since 1976, spanning diverse industries that include also restaurant, insurance, entertainment, service, manufacturing, and construction. He has extensive experience working with small to medium-sized businesses throughout various stages of their development, with areas of specialty in taxation, of course, business valuation, litigation support, and property settlement mediation. Mark holds board positions for the Pima Community College Foundation, the nonprofit La Familias, which is dedicated to healing children and adults victimized by sexual abuse, and also the Tucson Jewish Community Center, in addition to representing Beach Fleischman in professional associates as well. Well, the two of you, can you imagine, founded in 1990. Where has the time gone, Mark?
It slipped away.
Slipped away. You're in denial. How about you, Bruce?
Yeah, it's been fun and fast.
So how was it the two of you connected? Was it back in your university days, Mark?
Well, actually, I graduated in 76, as you mentioned, yes. And interviewing for positions here in Tucson, Bruce was the person that interviewed me and hired me.
Okay.
With a regional firm at that point in time. And 4 years later, we went out in 1980 and started our firm, had a brief merger with another large firm, and then rejuvenated again in 1990.
1990, okay. So that truly, Bruce, the circle of change dynamic of being part of another and then breaking off and growing it in new ways.
Yeah, it was an interesting experience. What we found out was that, you know, when you merge with somebody else, you think they can solve a lot of your problems,
yeah.
And they really can't. You got to solve all your own problems. So we decided we were going to solve our own problems, but do it on our own.
Well, I think the other piece of it is there's probably no such thing really as a true merger. They're acquisitions in sheep's clothing sometimes. And that also, by the way, you forget there's a bunch of unintended consequences, so you end up with new problems.
Exactly right.
Right. So you can, enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
That's right. Mark, how many shareholders do you have in the business now?
Oh, gosh. I think today we have 24 shareholders.
24 shareholders, or some firms would call those partners.
Yes.
But you choose to elaborate and use that word. And then your total organization, Bruce, how many employees do you have these days?
We have about 130 employees, about 18 in Phoenix.
In Phoenix, that's right.
And the rest here in Tucson.
Yeah, that's right. So growing two offices. And in fact, you've just made a big merger opportunity that's underway up in Phoenix, so expanding the footprint. Of course, I had the pleasure of being part of your all-employee meeting here recently. And what struck me is when you all had your new employees stand up, and to realize the numbers of colleagues that have joined the firm just in this year, at a time when other people are talking about lack of expansion and talent management, that's not the case of Beach Fleischman, is it, Mark?
No, we've actually been very fortunate with clients and staff growth in the last year and a half or so. Mm-hmm. And then this merger in Phoenix has really given us a shot in the arm in that community.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Bruce, accounting and the management of a firm of this nature, you know, a lot of people, I think, view that to be dry, compliance, you know, ward away the guys from the IRS and so on. But I feel that in the exposure I've had with you, firm, that you've got a mantra that's much broader in service to your clients. You might want to share some thoughts about that.
Well, really what we try to do is to be trusted advisors to our clients. And by doing that, what we want to accomplish is I call it their success is our success. Mm-hmm. And it's very rewarding. And I think that our staff, once they get into it and actually see the difference that they can make in helping a company become successful. And then as the company becomes successful, that family becomes successful. And then you start to work on all the fun things about expanding, how do you transfer the business to the next generation?
Exactly.
Or even selling and watching somebody take their dream, turn it into a very lucrative retirement. And it's a very rewarding experience. And I think that when the staff realize that they are actually a part of all these growing businesses and they get to do a different one, the variety is really, really challenging. And it's really, really rewarding.
You know, I noticed that in both of your introductions there, Mark, you know, the fact you've been in everything from, entertainment to construction, it's never a day goes by when you don't have something, I'm sure, that's making you push new boundaries and learn new things.
Absolutely. Every day when I walk into the office, I expect to do something. I seldom ever get an opportunity to do that because there's so many other things coming at me.
Yeah. Which again, people might say that doesn't strike you necessarily well from an accounting background, that's more a technical, mathematical, analytical side, but there's a lot of people side to that at the same time.
It's advisory services.
It's advisory
is really hilarious.
Services, really. And I think as well, though, to not fall in the trap of being commodity, in other words.
Exactly right.
Yeah. So Bruce, over the years, would you say this was a mindful decision of yours to create a culture that would service as a total advisory package, or is it something that more came a result of just the nature of you and your team, how you expanded?
Well, it's what I enjoyed.
Yeah.
And I think it's what Mark enjoyed. And so, we just decided to create the firm around that same type of culture. And so what we try to do is attract clients that have the same culture that we have.
Mm-hmm.
People who want to do it right, they want to work hard, they want to be successful. And then we try to attract staff that have the same mindset as we do as well. And it's worked really well for us over the years.
Yeah, Mark?
It is an amazing thing. I mean, these clients that you get become your friends.
Yeah.
Their lives become part of your life. And as it morphs into something bigger at our firm, when, as Bruce mentioned, as those staff members get to become part of that, then they become part of the lives of the clients and it becomes a big community. I mean, we like to say it's a family mm-hmm. at Beach Fleshman.
Well, I think what it all comes down to is at the end of the day, it's people that are in relationship or even more importantly in partnership that trumps technical acumen any day.
It really does.
Well, and particularly, Bruce, I'm sure you've had black swan events or things that really throw a client for a loop, and you've got to be prepared to stand strong with them and pull every sort of creative idea out there to help, don't you?
Yeah, that's true. And the technical aspect is challenging because you have to have that technical mm-hmm. side or you really aren't going to be useful to your client. But so you have the challenge of making sure that you're always abreast of what's going on in your industry.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you become that person that your client really relies on. And when they really need you, you got to be there.
Mark, with so many things changing so fast in so many different industries, and again, your firm does represent companies across such a portfolio or a palette of firms, how do you stay abreast of the most important things?
Well, actually, we all are required as CPAs to take at least 40 hours a year of continuing education mm-hmm. at our firm. It seems that it ends up to be somewhere between 100 and 120 hours.
That's right.
Because we have a lot of internal training as well as sending people to external training courses. And we're constantly reading. We're constantly sharing ideas with others within the firm and outside the firm. We belong to a large group of CPA firms around the country. We get assistance from them as necessary. It's a constant career of education.
That's right. And Bruce?
Yeah. One of the things that we've done is we've realized early on that you can't be all things to all people.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we've done is we've broken our firm up into technical areas as well as industry segments. So each of us try to really specialize in one or two industries because you can't possibly specialize in all the industries. And then we take technical expertise and we try to specialize in that. So if you're really going to specialize in estates and trusts, then you don't do corporate tax, partnership tax, individual tax. You really specialize in that area and you become really, really good at it. And then we rely on each other. So whenever we need, we try to put a team together that addresses the client's needs, and we take the expertise that we need, and we rely on each other to be able to bring that expertise to the table when the client needs it.
So that idea of the collaborative, that the whole is much bigger than the sum of the parts.
That's correct.
By the virtue of the fact that you can collaborate internally. Well, if I recall, it wasn't that long ago that you restructured your firm to actually make a model like that come alive, didn't you, Mark?
That's correct. Just a couple of years ago we did that.
A couple of years ago. And that's, you know, that's kind of a new thing in and of itself, because many more formalized partnership-driven companies are, it's all about me and what revenue I'm going to bring to the bottom line. It's kind of like I'm running my own small business within a bigger business. So to ask people to now work outside of those boundaries and share in the benefit of it, because you're going to get something bigger.
Well, we used to call those silos.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so
I'm
my own silo. And as my own silo, I'm very limited as to what I can accomplish. And when we spread it where we help each other in the segments, and it's really, they're not my clients. They're the firm's clients.
Exactly.
And that's really what's important, because the firm outlives all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And the firm has to go on. And those clients need to get service whether I'm there or I'm not there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need to have others within the firm understand the issues and problems of those clients and be able to help them whenever.
But you know, Bruce, to make a shift in gears though, across people, to help them embrace a model like that, do you recall, was it a couple clear client problems that you all were able to tackle and see the tremendous benefit of it? Or did people just buy into this intuitively, do you think?
No, what we did was we actually launched this initiative about 6 years ago. And we did it in one of our strategic planning meetings. And what we called it was One Firm, One Voice. And the objective was to, as Mark say, try to break down the silos within our firm and really start functioning more as a team to provide the best services for our clients. It's much easier for I'll call it the younger generation versus our generation. They all go, when they've gone through school, especially in the last, I'd say, 5 to 10 years, they know how to work in teams because they've had to.
Right.
So it's been harder for my generation, Mark's generation, to actually do that because we don't have that ingrained in us. So we actually look to them to help us do that. And so every year when we start our retreat, we start our retreat with that mantra, One Firm, One Voice. And it's the theme of our retreat every year.
Well, to that point then, Mark, I take it then you've been very mindful then on the staffing strategy to make sure it's consistent with also looking at various demographics to make sure you can play to that diverse capability, right? Whether it be age or gender or what industry or what part of the country, et cetera, that people bring to the party.
That's exactly right. We try not to just hire people because we need bodies. We try to hire people or have people join us that will continue to advance the firm in its one One Firm, One Voice, One Vision, actually.
You know, one topic, of course, that's very popular, because I think a lot of us continue to wrestle with, is the idea that we've got four generations in the workplace. Now, I would say not just from an internal view of four generations, potentially Beach Fleischman, but if you look at your clients, you've got four generations within your clients. And that calls for whole different ways of communicating or planting your message or mining the data, doesn't it, Bruce?
Well, yeah, actually what I'll say to you, it's all listening.
Listen.
You know, you know, and what I try to do is to make sure that I'm listening to all the individuals in the different generations so that I can see, hear what their concerns are and what they're saying. Then we try to do the same thing with clients. If you don't really listen to your clients, you don't know what their interests are, what's keeping them up at night, what are the real critical issues are for them to be successful in those businesses. So that's a key ingredient for us, is to learn how to listen to people before we actually get in and start taking action.
I was going to say, I get texts from some of the younger clients I deal with, but I can't send emails to some of the older clients I deal with because they don't have computers.
They don't have computers, and they don't want any part of doing computers. Yeah,
that's
so
exactly
you've got.
Right.
But you know, it's one thing to listen, but it's also, though, Bruce, you have to have an ear of listening to, quote, the different foreign languages that are being spoken, right? Because, and I don't mean just the literal one of the slang or the word choice, but it's also sometimes what people don't say that really is such a key component to the listening side.
Yeah, that's correct. You sound like my HR director. But what
we're all around you. We got you covered. That's right.
What I try to do, and we actually have brought people in to help us with this, is really try to identify what kind of a person is the person that you're communicating with? What is going to be the most meaningful way for you to communicate with them? And then try to actually put that into the words so that you can get the best result when you're trying to train them, mentor them, or whatever you're trying to accomplish.
Exactly. For those of you who just may have tuned in, we're speaking with Roots Beach and Mark Fleischman, who are the founders of Beach Fleischman, a public accounting firm. Actually, it is the it has become Southern Arizona's largest locally owned accounting and business advisory service firm that we have here in town, based here and as well in Phoenix. For those of you that are younger in your careers or thinking about career shifting, lest you think accounting is just a technical career you go into, I hope you've gathered so far in our conversation, there's a lot of people dynamics and challenges and interaction that's all part of that area. Mark, could you tell us a little bit about some of the new markets, new service lines? I mean, your firm is constantly evolving, not just in size, but the methods of how you go about doing your work.
Well, interestingly enough, one of the areas that I specialize in is forensic accounting. And I think that's a buzzword, basically, because forensic means...
Sounds like a new
back.
TV show. Yes. These two are going to get tapped for right here on Journal Broadcasting. There you go, forensic accounting.
Forensic accountant. but basically, that is dealing in litigation situations with people that have issues with each other. And from the accounting standpoint, doing investigations to try to... call out what is the truth. Mm-hmm. What do those numbers really tell you? And there's always been the standard audit, accounting, and taxation, and now forensic accounting is an area that has expanded dramatically.
And it really transcends all those other three sections, doesn't it?
It does. You really need expertise and have some experience in all those areas to be effective.
And so, Bruce, in fact, you know, you mentioned earlier about how your model for your business has been to segment people into industries or allow people to become experts in core areas. I'm assuming at some point in time, though, you really want to kind of shake the deck for the right person so they can get some of this cross-reference and cross-skill area?
Yeah, a lot of it, you know, when the staff first start, you know, we try to have them focus on their technical skills,
right.
And passing the CPA exam and really becoming solid technically, because that's really the foundation of how you're going to build your whole career. Once you've got that technical expertise in the first two or three years, then you start to really focus on the industry or the technical skill that you really want to become a specialist in. And we try not to drive the people mm-hmm. towards that. We try to let them gravitate to what really interests them.
And sort of it's more of an organic process.
Right. So if they really show an interest in the construction industry, then let's start to help them through that. And sometimes you have to back up and say, that's not really what I wanted to do, so I want to mm-hmm. back up. And so you start and restart. But eventually, when you get somebody into their sixth or seventh year, they really have to be really good at some technical skills, whether that's tax, accounting and auditing. Mm-hmm. And then you also have to be really, really good at some one or two industries. The world is just too complicated to be able to master all the tasks.
I would think one of the challenges, though, Mark, for your people is that the industries that were hot 5 years ago may not be the hot industries now, or more importantly, how do you prepare for the industries that are coming around the corner that are going to be hot and very lively in these different segments?
Well, actually, it's interesting because those new industries are just naturally growing out of the old industries, to be honest with you. And so that technical ability, that people skill that you enhanced while you were working in this one industry that maybe fades out, naturally you're going to be capable, you should be capable of stepping up into that new area, but you've got to want it. Mm-hmm. You've got to go get it sometimes. Mm-hmm. You've got to challenge yourself to continually improve.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, Bruce.
A great example of that is the solar industry.
Right.
The solar industry actually is morphed out of the construction industry. So a lot of our people who had that construction industry expertise just moved right into solar because then they just had to learn all of the credits and all the things that, mm-hmm. that came with the solar industry. But as Mark said, it morphed out of that construction industry. Healthcare. You know, a lot of the technology today it revolves around healthcare and comes out of the healthcare. So when we're working with startups, especially out of the University of Arizona, they all come usually out of that health area.
Well equipped.
You know, so it's kind of, you know, you can gravitate right there with them.
And then, Mark, the opportunity, though, to cross the learnings from one set of clients to another set of clients, is that a role left to your more senior shareholders? For example, experiences that bubble up from a healthcare company, you say, boy, this smells very similar to, although it's called something different, over in, you know, entertainment, whatever it might be.
Well, the interesting thing is that our senior shareholders are more aged, mature individuals that have been in the profession longer.
They have more silver highlights in their hair, as my daughter would say.
That's a very nice way to put it. We've seen more than the younger people. And so they will often come to us, thankfully, for suggestions, guidance, or opinion. And we get to share it, and we get to, you know, interact with them and learn what they're thinking. So it does help advance the knowledge learning base and helps us all be better at what we do.
Yeah, that's right. Bruce, I've mentioned, of course, in the introduction that both you and Mark are heavily involved in your professional associations. And for our listeners that might be wherever they are in their career thinking about, gee, do I have it, what it takes to make a solid, well-rounded technical accountant as well as the people side, what are some of the big issues facing accounting in general? I mean, a lot more legislation, isn't it? And yeah, perhaps a smell of more bureaucracy than I would like, et cetera. How can you frame that in a healthy way?
In a healthy way.
Yeah, healthy way.
Well, probably the biggest thing we're working on with our clients right now is the Affordable Care Act.
Yes.
Because it's very confusing and people don't know how it's going to affect them. It's like a freight train. It's got to be in place by the end of this year. You better know what you're doing. And so we've been really going out in as much as we can in small groups, trying to help our clients understand what this means to their business and how they're going to comply. The compliance aspects of starting a business right now are enormous. I'm not sure how a small business person can start their own business and meet all the compliance requirements without actually having an advisor, CPA, or a lawyer that actually helps them through the whole process, because it's a mountain for these people to start. And most of them start their business without really being in compliance.
Yes,
and then they, as they become a little successful, I got there. Now what do I need to do to make sure it's done right?
But I think what you would probably say, Mark, is really that's right in the DNA of Beach Fleischman, is you delight in the idea of catching an early stage startup, that you can guide them with the templates, not constrain them in any way, but travel that process with them.
Absolutely. Interestingly enough, our experience was we started, again, as I mentioned, in 1980 out of a warehouse that a client had loaned us for a period of 60 days before our space was ready. And so Bruce and I were basically doing 100% of everything, answering the phone, flicking the stamps.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how you get to learn what it is to be in business. And that's how come we, I believe, have the compassion for that new startup business and what they go through.
And in many regards, for your younger employees, you still want them to learn to lick the stamps, right? Whenever possible to get that. Well, again, it's been a real pleasure to have Bruce Beach and Mark Fleischman here from Beach Fleischman. You can learn more about their firm, indeed, by BEACHFLEISCHMAN.com, Beach Fleischman. They have offices both here in Tucson and in Phoenix. And, you know, I can't think of a better tagline for this is how relationships trump technical acumen. So thank you, gentlemen, for joining us here on Circles of Change today.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.